This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
You know, so often we are trying to dig into the psychology of the individuals that we are covering here on this program. And it's not easy to do because in order to commit some of the crimes that these people commit, it takes a special way of thinking. Special, not in a good way either. But we do have a guest that we've had on before, and I thought it'd be interesting to get her perspective on where things are sitting right now, meaning where things are sitting in their minds while they're sitting in jail or prison, for that matter. M.E. Thomas is joining us, a sociopath. And I say that with all the love and care that I can when I say a sociopath. She's author of the book Confessions of a Sociopath. She's a lawyer and a law professor in exile and is a self-proclaimed sociopath, diagnosed sociopath as well, but not the type that goes and kills people. She can give us a lot of interesting insight as far as how the brain of a sociopath works. Now, we don't know conclusively if Alec or Koberger are sociopaths, but there's clearly obviously something not working right in either of them, if in fact they are guilty of the crimes they are accused of. Murdo already convicted, Koberger on trial, or going to be on trial. So let's start here. I want to kind of touch on both a little bit, Emmy. Tell me, and let's assume that Murdo is a sociopath. He's sitting in prison now. He was just found guilty. What is going through his mind?
You know, even if he isn't a sociopath, he certainly is someone who has certain of the characteristics, yeah. You know, from what I've heard. He seems to be charming. He seems to be confident. He seems to be self-assured. He seems to take risks. He seems to be kind of self-indulgent, maybe egotistical a little bit,
yeah.
Self-seeking, seems to see things from his particular perspective. Now, there could be a lot of reasons that he has that particular mindset, but probably if he's sitting there, he probably is thinking, I have grossly miscalculated. Uh-huh. That's probably the thing that he's thinking about. And that's happened to me a couple of times, too, where, I've put things in motion. I've taken like a big swing and a miss at something, uh-huh. And ended up on the ground and kind of been like, whoa, what happened there? Usually things work out for me. This didn't work out for me. Like, how could I have predicted this? And it's kind of funny because I think like normal people sitting there would be like, of course he could predict this. he has every piece of evidence in the world that would have helped him predict that this would be a very likely outcome for being in this type of situation. But there's this kind of like a mind blindness that people experience sometimes, especially with these kind of sociopathic characteristics,
yeah.
Where you just didn't predict it. You just didn't see it coming. You understand people to the extent that a puppet master understands people and you can pull their strings, but you don't understand them when it really comes down to it. You've never been in a situation in which you've been on a murder trial. And so you don't really have good data either. And so you're probably being overconfident thinking, my charm, whatever else
yeah.
will help me get through this difficulty. Like it's helped me get through all the rest of the difficulties. So I just think that that's probably he just is kind of reeling from that, not just that this thing has happened to him, but just, why couldn't he have predicted it a little bit better? Because let's see, if he really did do it, if he killed his wife and son, like for what? And that's kind of been the thing about this trial is because what is the motive there? I mean, you could kind of point to a couple motives, but it's not really a motive for him doing the killing. It's maybe a motive for him, hiring a hitman or something. Like why, mm-hmm. why do something that could be so easily traceable to him? And so kind of, obviously he's going to be the prime suspect. I guess there are a couple things he did right. If he did do it, he got a gun that wasn't registered to him and he got rid of the gun. To my understanding, they still weren't able to find the murder weapon.
Sure.
And that's a big deal. And that, it's hard to understand in the timeline how he found the time to do that.
Yeah.
Where is that gun if he was able to do something like that? But it's just kind of, interesting, you know, the short-sightedness. I think, you know, if he did do it, maybe he did it because he thought, okay, I need this money, and, you know, the son's a liability at this point, money-wise. And he was just thinking like an addict, like I need money for the drugs, and I need the drugs to feel happy. And, you know, if I don't have the drugs, then I might as well be in prison or something. So this is kind of his last ditch effort to maintain that lifestyle that he had kind of, you know, made for himself and gotten used to.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting to try and dissect motive on this, because it is very twisted. And I don't know that any of us can truly grasp what it was, the goal of all this, other than assuming that he was going to be smarter than everyone else and somehow get away with everything. But with a goal of going to prison, I don't know. That's something that I wonder about specifically over in the Koberger case. That's the Idaho murders, where he seemed to really study, from what we know, the mindset of an individual who would commit crimes like he is accused of committing, even doing research studies through his college that he was a professor at, or an assistant at. And it really dug into the psyche of how should I feel if I do this, if I do this action against someone. Very much on the level of operation, not necessarily knowing emotion, but wanting someone to fill in the blanks of emotion and how he should feel. It makes me wonder if he did all of that just to try and feel something.
You know, it's an interesting question. My guess is, in that situation, like, why did he choose that area of study? He probably, you know, just guessing. If you, again, assuming that he's the one that did it, all these people presumed innocent, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. I feel obligated to say, as a lawyer.
Sure, of course, yeah.
So, assuming that he did do it, and, you know, also defamation. So,
of course. Yeah. I mean, it's all innocent until proven guilty. But if we're on the conversation of assuming he did it. Yeah.
Yeah. In the hypothetical case that he did do it, I would imagine that amount of kind of urge, you know, that degree of impulse that would lead somebody to do something like that would be very heavy. You know, you would kind of live with the burden of that and kind of be white knuckling it the whole time, kind of like the same way, you know, again, like an addict would, you know, be really craving, you know, a particular type of substance to, you know, whatever the reason would be to crave the substance.
Sure.
So if you're dealing with that, if you are, you know, feeling inside the urge that would eventually lead you to kill four people, you know, and kind of, you know, a slaughterhouse type situation, that's pretty outrageous. You know, that it would be like a very heavy burden to carry with you. And he probably suffered for many years with the urge. And maybe he was just trying to understand himself and understand the urge. And maybe he was hoping that he'd find an answer somewhere in there for why he feels the way that he does, why his brain has these particular thoughts, why he, you know, he looks at something like this that most people would find to be like reprehensible behavior. Mm-hmm. Why he looks at it with such, you know, desire, that it's so desirable to him that he feels like maybe he's out of control with regard to this desire, that the desire eventually is going to best him. And if that were true, then maybe that is what bested him. So I don't know that he's trying to necessarily, you know, get himself in the shoes of a killer if this is what he was doing. And then he kind of ended up, I don't know, being kind of brainwashed, kind of like a cult brainwashed from learning about all these killers. My guess is that it would be the opposite, is that he had the urge first and then he tried to learn about it, rather than he learned about these killers and then he somehow acquired the urge to kill.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Fascinating look from that perspective. Emmy Thomas. You want to check out her book. It's called Confessions of a Sociopath. Thank you for coming on and giving us your insight today. You can follow me on Twitter at Tony B Pod. I want you to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts right now, so you don't miss any breaking updates or discussions on the cases that we're following for you. If you'd like an ad-free experience, you can get that through Apple Podcasts. Even get it for 3 days free. Check that out and help support our program. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.